with us. Therefore, why should we misuse all these things?
Do you make any differentiation? Is there a difference between the beating and the tongue lashing, which are so extreme? Is there a difference between that and a spank or a brief, stern brief?
By beating or tongue lashing, I mean this. It's meant like this. That which humiliates the child will belittle the child, will demonstrate a certain despise in our hearts against the child. You must never do that.
Mr. Fazi, there are theories of education today which say that the child contains all the knowledge or all the that everything is within the child, and really the role of the teacher should be to merely allow the child to express these things, and the teacher should not really interfere. They call the teacher a facilitator. And what should be the role of a teacher in the instruction of Baha'i children in classes held? And maybe you could give some examples of your own work or schools, Baha'i schools in Persia.
Yeah. You see, first of all, the knowledge of things does not exist in the child. The talents are given to the child to grasp that knowledge. Abdul Baha says, look at the candles. Each candle, you're sure there is light in this candle. But what does it need? It needs somebody to ignite it. I mean, there are candles which are ignited by themselves. They are specific creation of God, such as the people who are genius or prodigious children who are just ignited by themselves. But usually, the power to have light is existing in the child. The power to understand exists in the child. The teacher's function is to discover what this child made for. Is she made to be a great speaker, a great writer, a great organizer, a great dancer, pianist, violinist? All sorts of things must be tested and examined to such time that the child, as the teacher, may decide and says, this is excellent for this specific line of activity, and that's the meaning of specialization. They must try all ways and means to find what is the special line of the interest of the child and the talents given to the child. Now, it's impossible to do this because each poor teacher is given more than 30 children in a class, and as we say in Persian, they must drive the cattle with one stick. One lesson for all of them, one homework for all of them. And that's why the poor children get punishment. Some of them are not interested in some of the homework given to them. And they'll be punished. Will the punishment make them do this homework better in future? It's impossible. Discovery is the work of the teacher. For example, you referred to my own experience. I was in a village of Persia where there were about 2,000-3,000 children, 2,000-3,000 Baha'is who had about 1,000 children there, and they had no school. All the Baha'i schools had been closed, and the guardian expressed the desire that he wanted somebody to go there and start the tutorship, as it is mentioned in the 5-year plan of the House of Justice. Tutorship means a teacher and a group of students. Well, in that village, I came to understand that this village particularly gives to the children the greatest power of concentration and perseverance and reaching the end that they have in life. They will persevere to reach the end, all these children. But the only thing that I could do for them in those years was to teach them how to read and how to write and mathematics, a little bit of history, geography, and so on and so forth. And many of them turned their path to the line of mathematics. Some of them medicine, I could see in them that these children are interested in medicine. I could find in them that these children are best in mathematics. Now, after 5 years, I had 20 teachers prepared for that village, and they continued the work. Now, do you know that many of these, of those boys and girls who worked with me, are scattered throughout the world, and are excellent doctors, mathematicians, engineers, architects, those children. Because from the very childhood they were directed to the line in which they were interested. Now I'll give you some examples. The father of one of them came to me and said, I have prepared my suitcase to go to America, of that village. I said, how do you go there? What makes you to go there? He said, do you remember the youngest son born to me? I said, yes, Behzad, his name was Behzad. He said, yes. He said, he has sent me tickets and money to go to America, and he'll take me to the temple, to the Baha'i meetings and some of the centers in America and Canada, and will return home. Where is he working? He said, in his own way, he said, in the satellites. You know, he is so strong in mathematics that whatever department of satellite is, they borrowed him from university. He's working there. He's one of the children. And I was in, what was the place? I forgot the name. Somebody came to receive me and first said, let me take you to the place where we sent satellites. I'm working there. He is from another village. He's one of the engineers who worked in that institution. And he took me in, he had the key to the institution, opened it and showed me the huge building of 40 stories where the satellite is made in between and how they sent it up and all the things, wonderful things that he had experienced himself. And he is one of the people who works there. Why? Because from childhood he was directed to this form of study.
And he came from a small village in Persia?
Yes, from small villages of Persia. There is another boy who is now in the University of America, and they paid him a scholarship and everything, all from this village.
Why did so many of the children excel in mathematics and science?
I don't know. The nature of that village, something, I said they have great power of perseverance. There is no covenant breaker in that village. There is no smell of covenant breaking. Yes. The village consists of 32,000 people. Only 2,000 are Baha'is. This village is near Isfahan. The moment you say Najafabad, they say, yes, yes, that village of the Babis. All 30,000 people are forgotten. They only know Najafabad by 2,000 Baha'is. It's the village of the Babis. Doctors throughout Shiraz, Isfahan, Tehran, in the hospitals, private clinics, are from this village. Our great pioneers in Persia are from this village. All the assemblies near Isfahan, near Shiraz, near Ahvaz, Abadan, the shores of Persia, are made by these people. One will be surprised. And also another village of Persia, Sangisar. The third one is, I mentioned the villages so that we can have a clear understanding of what the real Baha'i education may prepare. I shouldn't say real because it's far from real. There is a Baha'i education in these villages. Under the canopy of the faith they are grown, and they function because of that power given to them by the faith. I never created a competition amongst the children. Never. Never tried to show, to lift the hand of one child, this is the best child of the class. Never did I that. In all classes. I never called names at the beginning of the day. I knew everybody was in the class. Never. whenever they brought me their homework, I just put the sign here for all of them. You'd be surprised that there was only one boy who cheated me always. They never told him. He folded the paper like this, where I had done this, and I looked at it and said, it's all right. Gradually, he became ashamed of himself. And he never did it again. If I had used one word of reprimand in front of the class, he would become worse. But just not saying anything to him and accepting this as the final homework of this boy, something grew in him. He never repeated that. I would like to tell you the story of Abdu'l-Bahá in this respect. On Friday, Abdu'l-Bahá expected the children to stand in a row at about 11 o'clock in the morning, and would come down from his room. He would see their penmanship and the weekly work of their lessons and everything. And each child had prepared things for Abdu'l-Bahá. One of them said to me, I said, 1 week I was truant, I didn't do anything, and on the night of before Friday, I was tired and slept. In the morning, I took the very same thing that I had taken the week before to Abdu'l-Bahá. So all of us were standing like this. And the moment he started to come downstairs, he looked at me. And I bent down my head. He took my papers. He didn't say anything. He said, marhaba, marhaba, to everyone. And they were standing, then they were served tea in the presence of Abdu'l-Bahá and everything. And he said, I was very happy that Abdu'l-Bahá could not understand him. Did not say anything to me in front of him. Then when he wanted to go out of the room, he called him. He said, I don't think you made progress in writing this week. Yeah, that was all. How beautiful. He really created something in the boy. Yeah. He showed him that he's not deceived, but he overlooked his mistake. He never said anything in front of other children. But just remarked what the child should have known. Of course, he says the travail, the work of each person must be appreciated. But in the class, we must be very careful not to create any competition amongst the children, or, God forbid, favoritism or something like that.
Could you say something about, or could you tell us a little bit about methods we can use to educate our children in spiritual and moral principles?
Oh yes, I forgot. The first thing I said was the second, I think the best means will be stories for children. Because when you tell stories to the children, they always think that they must emulate this personality, go into the skin of this man or woman and become one of them. And the simplest the story, the better for children, so that they can understand. Sometimes I'm very sorry to hear the stories of Abdu'l-Bahá, which in nature, in its essence, is very, very simple, but is amplified, so amplified that the beauty is lost, like a piece of sugar diluted in plenty of water, plenty of descriptions and things like that. I don't think it's right, really. Therefore, for example, if we tell them the story of Tahira, you must tell it in its own purity, not add to it anything. Stories of Abdu'l-Bahá, the martyrs and the great teachers of the cause, and the illiterate people who became the greatest teacher of the cause. And tell the children that the greatest thing is the purity of heart, always, not to know very much. Because no matter how much we learn, still we lack something. But the purity of our heart gives us an endless treasure house of God's mercy. For example, ask the children, do you know Abu al-Fazail? if they don't know, tell them that he's the greatest scholar ever accepted the faith of Baha'u'llah. He was, the Guardian said he was a specialist in history and in literature. He could write in Persian and Arabic just the same. If he would stand to talk, Persian or Arabic would be the same for him. Arabic is a very hard language, but he wrote it so beautifully that even the Arabs were astounded. And then, when you say these things, but who brought him to the faith? Who taught him? A blacksmith, illiterate, altogether, awakened him to the faith of Baha'u'llah. Such things which will really awaken the children also to the fact that there is a power, mysterious power, we must tackle it, we must use it, and when we use it properly, it will come to our aid. The most difficult questions have been solved by the most illiterate believers because of an approach of simplicity and innocence that they had. There are thousands of examples. I very much appreciate the Baha'i News of America repeating the lives of the old believers. Some written by Zebi Whitehead. They're wonderful. Let the children read. I hope they will come when all these things will be compiled in one book. And the children will have it. Now I want you to have some questions. Could you ask any question you like? And where's your sister?
Over there.
Come on with your question. Do you have any question?
Well, yes. I wanted to say a prayer.
Yes, please say it. Wonderful. It will refresh all of us.
Oh my God, let the hearts of thy servants and reveal to them thy great purpose. May they follow thy commandments and abide in thy law. Help them, O God, in their endeavors. And grant them strength to serve thee. O God, lead them not to themselves, but guide their steps by the light of knowledge, and cheer their hearts by thy love. Verily thou art their helper and their Lord.
Thank you very much. Why is this prayer so important? It's very important.
Because it tells about the unity.
Unity, that's wonderful. If we have that, we have everything. Unite the hearts of thy servants. See, he never called us generals or heads of offices. He's his servants. It's the highest station that we can reach. But how many prayers do you know by heart?
About four.
That's wonderful, wonderful. And your question?
I would like to ask about memorization. Like, how much should you memorize and that kind of...
Yes. I wanted to say about this something. There are people who have powerful memories, therefore they must use it. But it's not a general instruction to the teacher that they should force everybody to memorize. There are people who cannot memorize properly. They are very weak in memorization. But they are excellent in solving a mathematical problem. When there is a power of memorization, therefore let him or her use it as much as he can. If there is a child in the class who cannot memorize, we must not torture the child. We must not minimize his activities amongst that. Say, but he is excellent in something else, for example. I'm sure he will be excellent in something else. Abdu'l-Bahá gives the secrets of human life very often in prayers. We must pay very much attention to the prayers of Abdu'l-Bahá, because these are the qualities of human soul that he puts in the form of prayer. In one of them he says, well be it with those who are awakened in the morning. When I ponder upon this and see human nature different, some people work at night, the whole night, and sleep in the morning till about noontime. what is Abdu'l-Bahá Minhaj? I found out, really, it's my own interest.